Okay, that was creation. 6 days, seventh day, what did God do? He rested. You think he was tired out? No. God, my creator, never tired. Why did he do it? To set a pattern for his creation, the ultimate part of the creation for man and woman, so that we would, in fact, work 6 days, taking care of creation, and on the seventh day, rest. So everything is going along great. Imagine being in the garden, total love, everything is joy, happiness, peace, patience, go through the fruit of the Spirit. That's what life was. They didn't even have to wear clothes. You know why? No 19-degree weather. It was perfect. You know why else they didn't need to wear clothes? Well, maybe their bodies were nicer looking than mine, but the real issue is they were no impure thoughts. Everything was wonderful. We're not in that condition anymore. The world has changed in terms of climate. The world has changed in terms of animals killing and maiming. That we, the ultimate creation, have fallen so low that we lie, steal, maim, either physically or verbally. That we make and break commitments and promises based on whether it's convenient for me or not. How did we get into this shape if God, our creator, on the sixth day says everything is very good? God walks in today, comes over, looks around, looks at me, and is he going to say, yep, everything is very good? He's not going to say that. In fact, he already knew it all and took care of it with his plan by coming to earth as Jesus Christ. Okay, let's see what happened. If you turn the page, it says they sinned and were tempted by Satan. Is this on? Okay. Somewhere the, there it is. I'm just going to hold it at the moment, because otherwise I'll have to ask them to come up and help pin it on me. All right. Now, when I printed this, somehow I got off of the Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 7, which is above the line. I meant to have it below. This is the third chapter of Genesis. Kind of right after the creation story in the first chapter, and then the creation details in the second chapter. If you remember, in the second chapter, God comes to Adam and says, this is yours, you take care of it, all the food is your seed, except from one tree, don't eat of that or you'll die. But this is all yours, take care of it, including that tree that is in the garden that you shouldn't eat of. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he said, do that. This is what you should be doing, and you'll maintain your image of me, and the world will continue as it has from the beginning. Now we have no idea. Is this on the eighth day or the second week or the end of the first year? But everything we can see is it happened pretty quick. So what happened beginning in chapter 3? Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He, the serpent, said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Let me stop for a minute. What I just said, who did God tell, don't eat of the tree? Adam. Possibly he told Eve, but it's not recorded in the scriptures. But we do know for a fact he told Adam. Generally, when you give someone an instruction and there's others around, what do you want that person who has the instruction to do? Share. I'm the oldest. Anybody else here an oldest in the family? Corey? Yeah, you. Did mom and dad ever give you directions to say, make sure your brothers and sisters do this? So it's your job to tell them, right? And what happens if they mess up? You get in trouble, right? What happens if they do well? You don't get the credit. Oh, your brothers and sisters are so nice. I know, that's what happened to me. I'm the oldest of six. So God gives Adam the direction. The serpent knows not to go to Adam. He goes to Eve. He says, hey, did God really say, don't eat of the any tree in the garden? So the woman said to the serpent, oh, we can eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said you shouldn't eat, God bless you, the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So, she got the first part right. Don't eat it. Second part, did God ever say don't touch it? Chances are, this is my surmise, not the word of God. Adam said, hey, there's a tree over there. God says, don't eat of it. And I'll tell you what, just if you say, don't even touch it. Don't even. Hey, I said that to my brothers. Mom and Dad say, don't eat the cookies or the cake. Or you're going to die if you don't keep it away from your brothers and sisters. Okay, so I say, kids, guys, don't look at it, don't eat it, don't even touch it, or I'm in big trouble. So mom and dad said, no, they said, don't eat it. All right, so he may have elaborated a little bit. But that's what she knew, and she knew this is what God said, clearly, don't eat of it, or we're going to die. Good. Watch the dark, by the way, the highlights are all me, so don't trust the fact that I made it bold. Read the whole Bible, not my highlights. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Is that true or is that fake news? Isn't that fake? What did God say? You'll die. So, oh no, you won't. You're not gonna die, come on. You don't believe that stuff, do you? So the woman said, well, I didn't hear directly from God, I heard from Adam, this is my guess. And so God says, I'm going to die if I eat it, and the serpent says, no, I won't. Now, all of us, because we are such good Christians, what would we say? Well, I'm going to trust God, not the serpent. No. Because the serpent hasn't changed in thousands of years and is still leading us astray by saying, did God really say? And we go, well, there's a workaround. There's a loophole. I can find a loophole. Why? Well, let's go on. You will surely not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, first of all, we're in the image of God. We've got the love of God. So what is the serpent saying? God's trying to keep something better from you. You can't trust God. What are you? Some naive, foolish person trusting God? Oh, come on. God actually isn't looking out for your best interest. Let me tell you, he's trying to keep the best from you. You want to have the best kept from you? Well, no, of course not. Remember, agape love is all about loving others, not thinking of myself. My father putting his hand on my mother's. This is not a sacrifice. This was a glory for him to be able to serve. I said, hey, Dad, come on. Mom will be sleeping. She won't even know. Why are you doing that? You'll sleep better. You'll have a better back. Why don't you just go to bed? Everything will be okay. Come on. Grow up, Dad. That's what the serpent's doing, trying to deceive Eve and say, God is a liar, not looking out for your best. You can look out for your best because you know better. I'm telling you the truth. That's why I don't like listening to any purported news these days. Most of it is, we're going to tell you what you should believe because then you will be happier, better, stronger, take action, you know, do this, do that, whatever. All right. So he says, you'll be like God, your eyes will be open. The emphasis is taken away from looking at God to looking at myself. And here's what Eve said. So when Eve, the woman, saw that the tree was good for food, yeah, it was probably good for food, right? And that it was a delight to the eye. Is there anything you can really think of that God created that isn't a delight to the eye? And the tree was to be, here's the key word, I should have made this one bold, desired to make one wise. She took of it. when she desired it. Because this would be better for her. It's good food. It looks good. It's going to make me wiser. It'll be more like God, knowing good and evil. That's to be desired. I want it. All of a sudden, that which I never desired, I now desire. That which I never even contemplated doing, I'm now doing. That's what she did. She was tricked into thinking this would be a life enhancer rather than a life destroyer. This was the destruction of the world. And she fell for it. But that's not the worst. Who did God give the direction to? Adam. Where in the world is her husband? Is he off planting trees or harvesting grain? Read the next sentence. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband. Is he an innocent person, didn't know what was going on? Gave some to her husband, who was with her. Where was he? Standing there, listening to the serpent's lies, fake news? Eve, I can understand, she got tricked. In fact, Paul later says she was deceived. Tricked into thinking that something was better than what God had revealed to her through her husband in this case. But Adam, is he with any excuse at all? No. Who did God, we know for a fact from Scripture, who did God give the direction to? And he's there, and he knows that that's the tree that he's not supposed to eat from. And his wife turns and gives it to him. And what's he do? He eats it. He actively, proactively, with malice aforethought, sinned. Sin is disobedience for God. Rebelled against God and ate of it. Now, the result was, then their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. In other words, they started seeing good and evil. And they started having lustful thoughts, all kinds of bad things. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths and the like. Folks, at that point, creation, the perfect creation, was damaged irrevocably in our universe. Before this, were there earthquakes? Doesn't appear to be. Were there 19-degree weather and snowstorms? Doesn't appear to be. Were there volcanoes? Don't hear about it. Were there animals ripping and clawing and tearing each other apart? Doesn't appear to be. In fact, later on, it's referred to after the second coming of Christ, that the lion will lie down with the lamb. There will be peace. There will be a return, a renewal to the original after the return of Christ and Armageddon. Now, the world gets messed up. All of creatures get messed up. The most important part, what is the capstone of God's creation? Man, which we know is man and woman. We've gone through that 3, 4, 5 times. We now have been diseased. There are dope addicts who want the dope so badly that they take a needle from a friend of theirs to shoot themselves up. And they put the disease their friend has in their own body. Even if they stop taking drugs, they're diseased. Folks, we're born diseased. We are born in sin. We are born putting our own ideas, our own thoughts, and how the world reacts to us center stage rather than the command of God to put God first. Bad news is, we are without hope. There is this disease called sin. The wages of sin are death. This is not the physical death. We all pass through that door. It's the second part. When we go through that door, we either are going to be with God in heaven and be renewed, or for all who have not been renewed, restored, and saved, following the path of the devil who the serpent is. I just want to show you the last piece before we close. There's more in here, so feel free to look at it.
Let's go to Paul's letter to the Romans. It's just below that Genesis chapter 3. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through... Wait a minute, I'm going to skip that. I want to go to the next page, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Mankind is under the wrath of God. Does God no longer love man? Let me ask that as a serious question. Does God not love man? Has he stopped loving mankind? He loves us. Does he love us with a condition? Does he love us while we're still apart from him and rebelling and serving our own desires? Yeah. But he's also that righteous God, and he has already said, these are the consequences. While I love you, this is what you've chosen, not what I'm doing. The things that go wrong in this world are not because God doesn't love us. It's because we do not love him, and others don't. Sometimes my problems are my cause. Sometimes they're because of someone else. But God still loves us. In fact, he loves us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, take every consequence of every rebellion, sinful thought that I ever did or will do, and take it to the cross, take it away, and I can now stand renewed and restored before God, the Father, because of Jesus Christ. But let's look at the consequence. We're going to go forward a few thousand years. We're at the Romans chapter 1 passage. And there's a couple points here, and then we'll wrap up. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Some people try to confuse me and say, well, if you really love me, you wouldn't hold me accountable, like kids and grandkids. No. God the Father has wrath. Wrath means correction. Go back to the purpose of the scriptures. It talks about reproof, rebuke, the wrath of God, the consequences of our action. He's already told us, and they're serious. So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That means when we turn away from that first commandment. And unrighteousness, when we don't do things rightly according to God, of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Now, some of us have been school teachers. Can we tell the entire truth of God in public school? No, according to law. We are required to suppress some of that truth. When someone comes to me with a problem, I can't tell them the answer is Jesus. I can't tell them why what they're doing is wrong from a scriptural standpoint as a teacher. Oh, woe is me. Okay. Now, let's continue on. For what can be known about God is plain to them. So that gives me a little comfort. Everybody lets you know what you need to know about God is plain. Whether you say you believe in God, by the way, I've never really met a true atheist. I have people who lie and claim to be atheists. But deep down inside, they know there is a God, especially when they get in trouble. I heard about a guy who was driving a car on an icy road. He's an atheist, denied God and everything else. He hit a patch of ice at night, went spinning, coming up towards the guardrail over a cliff, and he says, oh God, save me! And God did. And he says, ooh, that was lucky. The truth of the matter is, everybody knows there is a God. Again, talking to military folks, the bromide that's been around for probably hundreds of years, since there's no atheist in a foxhole. And when the bullets are flying. Okay, so what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. It's not because they have to be brilliant, God's already shown it. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, seen, ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. I love holding a newborn baby. That baby was knit together from the moment of conception by God. That is a miracle. That baby didn't come out a frog. It came out a human being. God does amazing stuff. So when I look at creation and his continued work in this world, it looks like babies, just as one example. Wow. So all of us are without excuse. Verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Okay, kids, are you giving thanks to God? Probably not as much as I need to, but I'm glad you nodded your head yes. They did not honor, and how many people are not honoring God or giving thanks to him? But they became futile in their thinking. That means really messed up. They cannot reason their way out of what they're doing. The laws that we're getting today and the arguments over laws, if they're apart from God's laws, that's futile thinking. I'm just telling you, we're trying to correct problems. We're trying to correct what we did by coming up with new laws to correct those problems. And their foolish hearts were darkened. My grandchildren asked me a couple years ago, after going through the Bible for the first time, said, Poppy, how come Pharaoh, God darkened Pharaoh's heart? Didn't he love him? So, try answering that to a young teenager. What do you mean? He hardened his heart. So I had to take him back to this passage. I think you'll see why in a minute. These are people who are claiming to be wise. Do you know anybody who thinks they really are wise apart from God's teaching? I do. Sometimes it's me. Lord, forgive me. And they became what? Fools. Do you know the Bible says there is no God? A priest told our young seven and eight-year-old sons who said that they believe the Bible. He said, you just can't believe the Bible. You know the Bible says there is no God? Did you know that? It does. So you believe it? So Matthew said, well, Dad said, don't ever just take a piece of verse out of context. Go back and read the before and after so that you can find out what's going on. Priest couldn't figure out where it was. It's Psalm 14. And so Matthew was able to look it up with the concordance and find it. And says to the priest, oh, now I understand. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. When you give up claiming God and claim to be wise apart from him, you become a fool. You've exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, and animals, and creepy things. Therefore, God gave them up. Does that mean he just fed up with them and walked away? No. Go down, verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up. Second time. Go down to verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up. Is God giving up? No, he gave them up. There's a huge difference. This darkening of the heart and giving up is, if you want to make decisions apart from me, because you are created in my likeness, therefore you have the freedom to choose. I am going to give you the right to choose. I am giving you up to make the decisions and now suffer the consequences of those decisions. So let's go back to verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Is that what's happening today? I know, unfortunately, some churches will not preach against fornication, homosexuality, and adultery and such because they don't want to offend people in the church. Why did they do this? Verse 25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is a forever blessed amen. Who is the creature? Who did God create? Me. You. Am I going to serve God or serve me? Remember the difference in agape love? That's talking and putting everybody else first, not because it's a sacrifice, but because I love it? Or put myself, my cares, my concerns first. I want to have relations with other people. I want to do things that God says no. It's not because he's trying to rob me of joy. It's because he knows what's best for me. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Hey, if I want to go, I can keep going. It's getting worse in the world, folks. Don't worry. God already told us it was going to happen. But don't worry, he also has the answer. For the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women who were consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving them in themselves the due penalty of their error. This is not new. It's been around for thousands of years because Satan is deceiving us into believing that there's something better than what God has told us to do or not do. Verse 28, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind. Oh, Lord, forgive me and help me. To do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. And the list could be added too. Is that not from the day of Paul 2,000 years ago? Is that not what we see today? Why? Because they turned away from the truth of God, the scriptures. Though they know God's righteous decrees that those who practice these things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them, either by outward, sure, go ahead, or silence. Are we being silent as followers of Yeshua? Believers that the scripture is true? Are we not with love, not with condemnation, love, begging people to be reconciled to God and his truth? Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he says, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I beg you to come back to God through Jesus Christ, who took all these consequences upon himself. He didn't just take them away and say they don't count. Guess what? No matter how bad it is for you, Jesus took all of that and millions of times more onto him and paid the price. Why? Because he loved. He didn't sacrifice. My father didn't sacrifice. Jesus didn't. He said, I love you. I love you. Father, forgive them, even while they're crucifying and killing me and doing this bad stuff and lying and hating and cheating and stealing and everything else. I love you. And he took that penalty willingly, lovingly, so that we can be renewed with a new relationship with God. And until we get called home, we've got a job to do. We've got to be ambassadors for Christ. Lovingly, not condemnationally, going around whacking people with the Bible. Guess what? There is a way that you can have that relationship with your Creator, who loved and created you. The following couple weeks, we're going to be learning more about it and how to communicate that truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you all. May you all have a blessed week.
Loving God.